For many women in the public sphere, online harassment and abuse can be a common part of everyday life, and it's quite obvious to most that this is not just an issue for those in high-profile positions. Social media has made routine the sexual harassment, verbal abuse, and threats of violence directed towards women, people of colour, and LGBTQ individuals online. But the underlying question is why and how has this become such a common practice and what are the reasons behind it? Here to help us answer these questions is criminology lecturer from the University of New South Wales, Dr. Bianca Feilborn. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
So to start off, what is some of the sort of abuse that we see online?
Yeah, so, I mean, it does vary depending on the context, but certainly for women online, the types of abuse that they experience tend to be quite sexually explicit and sexually abusive. So things like rape threats, for example, would be quite common. But we do see other types of abuse as well. So for LGBT people, there might be abuse based on their sexuality. And we do know that men also experience abuse online. But again, that tends to be based more on, their perceived masculinity or not being masculine enough. So they might be abused online for being gay or for being effeminate, as opposed to receiving the types of sexualized abuse that women tend to experience.
So is there something about the nature of the way we communicate online that sort of, you know, creates this masculine violence almost?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. So we know that certainly the anonymous nature of online spaces can play a role in facilitating this type of behaviour. So, you know, people definitely feel like they can perhaps get away with it a bit more because people don't know who you are. It's very easy to set up a fake profile. And certainly we have seen things like, you know, groups of men who will kind of egg each other on or, you know, will have a sort of network with each other where they'll all let each other know that they're targeting a particular person and they'll all jump on and abuse that person. So we see these kind of, you know, networks of support happening online amongst men who are engaging in that behaviour. So certainly that can play a role in, you know, supporting it and then facilitating the behaviour. But we also see, aspects of those things offline as well. So there's not necessarily anything that's specific just to the online world.
And how do you think these offline dynamics in gender contribute to online conduct?
Yeah, I think they're quite substantial. So this type of abuse, particularly when it's sexualized, is considered a form of gender-based and sexual violence. So, you know, we do need to look to the broader factors that contribute towards gender-based violence in the community, in, you know, looking to understand this behaviour. So that does include things like, you know, certainly individual level traits. So, men's personality, mental health, all of those things definitely come into it. The, you know, ways in which men view gender roles comes into play. So if you're someone who has very strict ideas around what it means to be a man or a woman, you are more likely to engage in this type of behaviour. But again, we see those communities of support in the broader or in real life. So people with violent supportive attitudes that, you know, help to support and condone the actions of these men come into play. But also broader structural inequalities are really important. So we know that societies with more gender equality in terms of things like, you know, representation of men and women in parliament or the gender pay gap tend to have lower levels of violence against women. And in societies where those inequalities are larger, we see higher levels of violence against women. So all of those things come into play to shape what's happening online as well.
So is this almost being seen as like a safe pushback for those that sort of are disagreeing with the oncoming sort of status quo of greater equality?
Yeah, that's certainly one way of understanding what these men are doing. So there's certainly the idea that they're pushing back against women who are seen to be, you know, challenging traditional gender roles and gender norms, which is one reason that we think it's, you know, women in positions of power or in, you know, public-facing leadership roles that are being targeted for this type of abuse. It's kind of like a way of putting them back in their place.
We're speaking with Dr. Bianca Feilborn, lecturer in criminology in the School of Social Sciences at Uni of New South Wales, about online abuse and misogyny. Now, do you see any hope of sort of curbing this sort of online abuse for women?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that could be done. Certainly the online platforms themselves have a role to play, so it would be great to see some better regulation of these online spaces and increased willingness from online platforms like Twitter and Facebook to intervene and to, you know, ban or temporarily cut off people who engage in this type of abuse online. So there are actually, you know, consequences for this type of behaviour. And we are increasingly seeing legal regulation or criminal regulation of this type of abuse as well. Although it is challenging because often, you know, the people perpetrating the abuse aren't always in the same country or jurisdiction as the victim, so it is challenging to regulate in that way. And, of course, this also ties into our broader efforts to prevent gender-based and sexual violence. So things like, you know, respectful relationships education in school and other efforts to reduce some of those structural inequalities that I spoke about earlier are all going to help reduce this type of behaviour.
And do you, what about, is this sort of inevitable in online spaces though? As you said, part of this, the ability for this sort of anger and vitriol is the anonymous nature of some of the communications online. Is this sort of an inevitable outcome of online communication?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think there are things that platforms could be doing to make it more difficult to engage in this type of abuse in the first place. So having, you know, tighter restrictions around, you know, how many accounts you can have set up, the types of names you can use, and the ability to create these types of anonymous accounts is one strategy we could look at. But of course, people can always work around that as well. So it is difficult to know whether it's inevitable or not. But certainly it's my hope that there are things we can do to be reducing it and making it more difficult and less likely that people would want to engage in this behaviour in the first place.
And what advice would you give to those that are sort of being targeted by sort of online abuse of this sort?
Yeah, I mean, there's no correct way to respond to this type of abuse. I would encourage people to do what they feel safe and able to do. So whether that's blocking people on these platforms and reporting them, you know, in some instances it might be appropriate to go to the police, particularly if your personal safety is a threat. I think it can be important to document the abuse, particularly if you are receiving a lot of it. So taking screenshots so there's evidence of what's happened can be really, really important. But that said, I think that it's the most important thing is to be focusing on the behaviour of the perpetrators and looking at how we can get them to change what they're doing, because ultimately they're the ones who are in the wrong there, and we don't want women to have to, you know, overly restrict how they're engaging in the online world, especially given it's increasingly, you know, a necessity of day-to-day life that we're engaging in places like Twitter and Facebook.
And finally, in the case of, say, Lee Sales, who spoke out recently about the online abuse that she receives, particularly misogynistic abuse, do you think the humanisation of say, public figures who seem to cop the fair brunt of this, you know, sort of helps combat this?
Absolutely. You know, I do think that perhaps people feel a bit removed from public figures, that perhaps there's this sense of, oh, well, they're out there in the public sphere and, you know, they don't care what I say to them, or they can handle this because it's their job or whatever, which absolutely isn't the case. You know, these types of behaviours absolutely have a quite substantial impact on people in some cases. So, you know, I think that's a good point, that actually remembering that these people are human beings like the rest of us, and that this type of behaviour actually does impact on people and upsets and, you know, has a lot of negative impacts.
Well, Dr. Farborn, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
No problems. Thanks so much.
Criminology lecturer Dr. Bianca Fileburn from University of New South Wales discussing the issues around online abuse and misogyny and how it is so pervasive.